Hey,
I'm Emmy.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is
Death in the Northwest, a podcast where two lovely, beautiful women talk about death and murder.
And assault.
Our
and
pets.
Kidnapping. And our pets.
Yeah. And our pets.
And Carl, Finn, Salem, and Kaya. Sorry.
It's
ow.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just ate a bite of hot baked. I haven't eaten anything all day, and so I just like threw a baked potato in the oven while I was in my meeting, and I just took a bite of it, and it's really hot.
Nice.
So
that's don't burn the roof of your mouth.
That's what's happening over here right now. It's very exciting.
You know what's happening over here? On the behind me on the couch, there's a Finnegan who's wrapped up asleep, and then there's a Kaya sitting right next to him.
Oh, the babe.
And there's no fighting and growling, no whining. They're very calm.
Peace at the McClellan house.
Yes. I don't think it'll last, though. But for the moment, I'm very impressed with the cat and the dog right now.
Hell yeah. Good for them. How is little Salem doing?
Yeah. Oh, he's getting so big.
I'm sure.
I know. Do you know? It makes me think. Do you think your parents have favorites?
Yeah, I know I'm my parents' favorite.
Of kids.
For sure.
Okay. Well, like, Salem's obviously my favorite. But I'm thinking, well, I have favorites for children.
Wait, Salem is your favorite over Finn?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really? Finn's been, like, your baby since day one, though. But I guess he's just your firstborn child, you know?
He's just my firstborn child, and he's just meh.
I've never heard you call Finn meh before.
I mean, I love him, but I mean, after having Salem, like, there are better cats out in this world. Salem is so cute and loves to cuddle and just, like, looks at you and purrs. And then you look at Finn
fingers.
And he hisses.
Yeah, he just wants to bite your freaking fingers off, a little monster.
Yeah, Salem will cuddle any time of the day, and then Finn, if you touch him at the wrong time of day, he'll attack you.
He's such a douchebag.
He's such a douchebag.
Okay, well, Sue, now you understand what I've been saying forever. I love Finn, but he's a dick.
No, I mean, I totally understand everyone saying that. He is a dick, and that's fine, but Salem is just obviously my favorite.
He's cute, and he's just a little black cat. Like, I feel like he really brings up your witch vibe, you know?
He does, my witchy vibe. I love that. And he also kind of looks like Kaya.
Yeah, they match. You know? They've got their little white patches.
They match, right? The white patches, yeah. And then their ears that stick up straight. And they just have a cute little, they have a bond. It's funny, like, I bought Salem for Finn to be friends. And then Salem and Kaya are better friends than Finn and Salem are.
That makes sense. They both have a very, like, jovial personality, Kaya and Salem do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cutie patootie. Yeah. Speaking of snuggle butts,
so
Carl smelled my potato, and now he's just in here acting really sweet
more
because he just wants my tater.
Aww.
And he's been so cute. I took him yesterday to the dog park with my friend, and we had our dogs meet each other, and it was really cute.
Oh, cute.
He did a really good job. He was, you know, he really doesn't care about anything except for the ball. So he was, but then we took them on a walk together. And Carl was
ball is life, man.
Let's talk about the incredibly just, like, really depressing and unfair. I mean, all murder is unfair, but the way this one is handled has been really unfortunate. There has been sort of a history at Humboldt State University of students being killed. And for the most part, there has been follow-up. And unfortunately, I'm going to tell you the story of a student who did not receive the same follow-up that many of his peers would have or had in similar crimes. Yeah. So David Josiah Lawson is a Black student at Humboldt State University. It is a evening in the 2017 school year,
And he heads off campus to a party that it's all Humboldt State students. And it's in, you know, the mostly white town of Arcata, which is in Northern California, right near Humboldt State. He went there with friends. There was roughly 100 people at that party. And yet no one can really agree on exactly what happened the night that Josiah Lawson was killed. So what it sounds like is that around 3 a.m. on April 15th, 2007, the cops came when they had gotten a report from a neighbor of a large and aggressive crowd outside of a party. They got called on April 15th, 2007 to an off-campus party when a neighbor called to say that there was a large and aggressive crowd outside the house at around 3 a.m. When they arrived on the scene, Josiah Lawson had been stabbed. His friend and fellow student Elijah Chandler was performing life-saving CPR measures on him. Their police report that ended up being publicized said that immediately life-saving efforts began after they arrived. But first-hand accounts at the party tell a very different story. So Chandler, Lawson's friend, said that it took about 15 minutes after the ambulance had already arrived for them to start CPR, for them to start administering CPR on Josiah Lawson. 15 minutes of standing around trying to figure out what was going on before giving life-saving treatment.
Oh, my God.
I know. There is a man named Eric. I don't want to say this last name, but I think it's Eric Ely. It's E-H-L-E. Eric L, maybe. He was the interim chief of police at the time. He completely denied the allegations, and he said that it seems in times of emergency, like these emergency medical services can feel like a lot longer than it actually is for them to get there and to start these life-saving treatments. But Chandler disputes this, saying that it took much longer. Chandler also tells an incredibly disturbing story of overhearing two young white women wishing for Josiah Lawson's death.
What?
And this has the N-word. I'm just going to say N-word. Yeah, the two girls were saying, I really wish that N-word does die. I really hope that N-word does die. They just kept repeating it. And I heard this is his friend saying, as I'm giving Josiah life-saving compressions, trying to keep him alive.
What bitches?
I know. So he was transferred after finally getting emergency services, he was transferred to the Mad River Hospital nearby, where he did succumb to his injuries and he did die.
Oh.
Now, there's so many issues here. This is incredibly sad, but the investigation was not taken seriously. And that is what the majority of this episode is going to be about, is the fact that right at the same time, over in Iowa, a student named Molly Tibbetts disappeared. The police response was swift and thorough. There was national media coverage. The tragedy was known far and wide across the United States. There was an investigation that was led by police between multiple states to try and figure out who did it. And it eventually led to a man named Christian Bonner Rivera, who confessed to killing her and ended up being charged with first-degree murder in August of that same year. Fox News and other conservative news outlets covered Tibbetts' case with a lot of gusto. And they ended up finding out that Rivera was an undocumented immigrant. And so then they covered it even, you know, it's Fox News. So they covered it even more, trying to paint. Exactly. And while, of course, this is so tragic, so, so tragic, something very similar and something with a lot more witnesses had just happened at Humboldt State. And there was
no coverage
of it. In fact, if you look up his name, mostly what you're going to find is stuff from 2 or 3 years later. And it's his mother asking people for help.
Yeah, I looked it up, and the only thing I found is like their webpage, their main webpage.
Yes. So if you look up David Josiah Lawson, Josiah Lawson's what he went by, you're going to find his mother searching and searching for clues, and you are not going to find much else. In fact, one of the articles that I read said, you've probably never heard of a black student at Humboldt State who was killed in 2017 and whose murder remains unsolved, even as journalists nationwide publicized the disappearance of another woman, a white woman, an Iowa student. Which, again, I don't ever want to be like, oh, that's not tragic that happened, because that's so, so sad.
It's so sad.
I just want to point out the difference in how media and police cover cases with African-American victims.
He's such a cute kid. Like, he looks adorable. He looks so cute.
I know. So the circumstances of the deaths obviously were different, and every murdered you know, every time that every time a student is or anybody is murdered, it's a tragedy and it deserves a lot of a public attention. And, you know, you have to wonder if Josiah Lawson's case was ignored just because of the fact that he was Black.
Yeah.
Michael Harriet, who's a writer for The Root, said if he were a white kid, I think we would probably know what happened to him by now.
Yep.
I think that the local outcry and more of a national outcry would put more pressure on the local authorities to really look into this case. Now, this murder opened up a can of worms, as his mother, Charmaine, puts it, at Humboldt State. And she wonders why the university would recruit Black students to an unsafe city, because students of color have traditionally been treated very poorly in this small white town. Because he wasn't murdered on campus and he was in the surrounding town, university officials basically said, like, we can't do anything. We'll help the police investigation, but we can't do anything. And that has played a big part into it, too, because while it was all university, it was all Humboldt State University students that were there that night, the university has done very little into doing their own investigation. At the scene of the crime, the knife was found that was used to stab Lawson. But apparently it had been tampered with throughout, like, evidence collection, and there was no usable fingerprints on the knife anymore.
What do you mean tampered with?
Not, I mean, like, it had just been passed around, like, it, through them clearing the crime scene, tons of people walked through there, it got smushed into the ground, like, all this stuff happened, so it just wasn't, it was no longer, like, a great piece of evidence. That being said, well, I'll get back to it. So there was the knife was found at the scene of the crime, but it wasn't handled properly, and they could not find any usable fingerprints on it.
Got it. I wondered if you were pointing to more of, like, a sinister reason for it to be being tampered with.
I mean, I think the fact that it was just handled poorly is kind of sinister. I think that, if it had been a white student, there would have been more care. There just wasn't the care given to this case that it deserved. Yeah. The diligence, exactly. All right. So let me talk about the details of the crime itself, or at least what they know. So like I said, there was roughly 100 different students at this party, many of whom were outside when this happened and have been interviewed. But there's also a huge portion of students who were at this party that have never been interviewed. Some have not been identified, but many have been identified and not been interviewed. And so there's just not a complete firsthand account of what happened that night. So this is what the police report says. It says witnesses described upwards of 100 people in attendance at the house party. Many of those who were present have not been identified, and many who have been identified have not been interviewed by detectives from the Arcata Police Department. The completion of this investigation is dependent on a number of factors, including interviewing all people present at the point during the party who may or may not have information to corroborate what happened that night. So, yeah, they haven't done the police work. It's crazy. There's a lot of different ideas about what happened that night, and they cannot seem to laser in on one specific person. What they do know is that Kyle Zollner, he's a 24-year-old man from McKinleyville, which is just 5 miles north of Arcata. He was arrested at one point as a primary suspect, and he had been at the party, and I believe that he admitted to being involved in the crime. But when they did more investigation, they found that that was just, like, false. He was just saying stuff. He was talking out of turn, and nothing came from that. So Kyle Zollner was ended up being released because, again, they weren't able to find usable fingerprints on the knife, and they just didn't have enough other than hearsay to keep him.
Ugh.
So what Zollner said is that he admitted to fighting with Lawson in a preliminary hearing in May of 2017, but he said he'd never stabbed him. After 5 days of testimony, the Humboldt County Superior Court judge ruled that there just wasn't enough evidence for him to stand trial for murder, and so he was released.
Do you know what the argument was about?
No, we don't know what the argument was about. I have a independent organization did a review of whether or not the response to his homicide was, like, done well. If I go to their page on the incident in question, I'll read you what they say. But again, there's just so many unknowns that I really think they could figure out if they just interviewed everybody that was at that party.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I don't understand. Like, it feels so negligent. But here, I will read to you the report of their incident from that night. So it says, in the early mornings, of April 15th, 2017, the Arcata Police Department responded to a report of a fight at a late night party in Arcata, California. The incident was determined to be a physical altercation that resulted in the stabbing of Humboldt State University, David Josiah Lawson. Upon their arrival, police officers located Lawson being given first aid by his friend Chandler, we talked about earlier. Police officers and the Arcata Fire Department personnel provided emergency medical attention for Josiah Lawson until the ambulance arrived and transported him to Mad River Community Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Police officers arrested an individual at the scene of the party who is identified by a witness as the assailant responsible for Josiah's death, and nothing came of that. They filed homicide charges against the arrested suspect within several days of the incident. But on May 1st, 2017, approximately 2 weeks after the incident, the suspect appeared before the Superior Court of Humboldt County for a preliminary hearing on the charges. After the five-day preliminary hearing conducted on May 5th, the court found that there was insufficient evidence to support the charges and the suspect, to hold the suspect to answer for a Superior Court trial, and they dismissed the complaint.
What?
First of all, 2 weeks after a crime has occurred is not enough time to know if there is actually enough information, I feel like.
Yeah.
But here's what they said. So here's from the superior judge. She says this. Under the evidence that was presented 16 days after the incident and the test that the court has to apply, that the evidence meets the requirements. Again, the requirement is such. A state of evidence that could lead a person of ordinary caution or prudence to believe or conscientiously entertain strong suspicion of guilt of the accused. At this point, I don't find the evidence is sufficient. Now, that is not to say that evidence may develop in the future, and we very well may suggest to the contrary, or very well may identify someone else who may have done this, because that's the one thing we're certain about. It happened. Mr. Lawson was stabbed to death at a party with lots of people there. And none of those people seem to have seen it happen, which is very difficult to believe. I completely agree. I agree, there is likely a handful of people who knows exactly what happened in this crime and know exactly how Josiah was killed.
Nobody wants to fess up.
Nobody wants to fess up. And I'm hoping that now, you know, there's been – it's been it's coming up on 4 years that maybe there's someone who's willing to say something at this point. It just doesn't make sense that at a crowded party with upwards of 100 people, nobody would have seen what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems impossible to me. So Charmaine Lawson, who's his mother, has been his most outspoken ally, trying to still find information, trying to keep his name alive, trying to keep this investigation alive.
Oh.
So the press release from the Arcata Police Department was sent out on the third anniversary, which was April 15th, 2020, of the crime. And I want to play it for you guys. And I want to I'm going to play for you the video portion, and then I'm going to read you the rest of the press release. And I just want to know, Jordan, what you think, okay?
Sure.
The Arcata, California Police Department is seeking the public's assistance in the stabbing death of David Josiah Lawson on April 15th, 2017.
There is DNA evidence from the knife used to kill my son. Now we need eyewitnesses to come forth and help us get justice for Josiah.
If you or someone you know were present at that party, please call the Arcata Police Department at 707-825-2590. That's 707-825-2590.
We need your help.
So that was the recording that was set out on the third anniversary of his death, which was April 15th, 2020. So just of last year. And this one says that they now have DNA evidence on the knife. Yes, exactly. But that is the only thing that I could find about this. It was in this press release. They say that they now have DNA evidence. And I couldn't find any articles on it, anything like that. So what we know is very limited, but this is what they wrote underneath the video release. It says, on this day, 3 years ago, HSU student David Josiah Lawson was murdered in Arcata. This case remains under investigation, and the Arcata Police Department is seeking the public's assistance during the ongoing investigation. On April 15th, 2017, while attending a house party on Spears Avenue, so remember this, listeners, Spear Avenue, because if you know anybody who was there, this is important to know. Josiah was stabbed during an altercation. Josiah was pronounced deceased shortly after at Mad River Community Hospital. Witnesses described upward of 100 people in attendance at the party. Many of those, this is what we've said before, many of those have been identified, many of them haven't been identified, and many have not been interviewed. The completion of this investigation is dependent on a number of factors, including interviewing all people that were there the night of the party who could corroborate what occurred. And that's basically it. So they don't mention in the written one, they don't mention anything about the DNA evidence. But I am so curious. So this only came out, you know, a couple months ago, and I have not seen any new updates since then. Like, this mm-hmm. is the most recent thing that I found in the media, and it's from the local Coast Outpost, which is – it covers, like, news in Eureka and Arcata and Eel River and Wild Rivers, which is the town which she was hospitalized in. And that's all I can find. So if you guys find anything else, please let me know. So Charmaine Lawson, she responded – I mean, obviously she was in that PSA, right? But she was not happy with – what ended up being said. Exactly. So she responded with this on her own website, which is called Justice for Josiah Lawson. She said, "I, Charmaine Lawson, mother of DJ Lawson," which is David Josiah, "was disheartened and outraged at the press release issued yesterday from the Arcata Police Department. For the first time after 3 years of alleged investigation in the murder of my son, for the first time they set up a 24-hour tip line and they released images of potential witnesses. Why weren't these actions taken years ago? And why is the APD primarily releasing images of African Americans who attended the party? As a mother who raised two ambitious, amazing, brilliant, outstanding young Black men that both went to college, I am deeply disturbed by the recent actions of the Arcata Police Department. When I viewed the blurry images from the press release, all I saw was Black and brown young people leaving the scene. It was a mostly white party. Why didn't the officers on scene that night obtain their names, contact information, statements at the time of the murder? Why, after years, is the APD just now trying to identify people in attendance at that party? This is beyond negligent. I was told by the three chiefs of police from APD and a city official that Kyle Zollner's DNA is on the knife that was used to murder my son. It is time that Humboldt County residents call out and address the Arcata City officials and Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming regarding DNA evidence that appeared on the knife that was used to murder a young college student. I cannot bring my son back, but we can help take a murderer off the streets. Why should a murderer walk the streets with your loved ones? If he killed once, he will kill again. Do you feel safer as a result of the actions that the APD has taken in connection with this case? No. And if not, I encourage you to demand answer from your local representatives." And she is demanding that the DA's office hand over a copy of the official grand jury transcript because they have not given one to her.
What?
Yeah. So she says this case must be immediately turned over to the California Department of Justice. DA Fleming has previously called in the FBI and the state general for helping the sheriff's office in corrupt investigations. Fleming emphasized the urgency and the need for assistance to these outside agencies during that investigation. Why should she not push for the DOJ to take over investigation of the murder of my son, especially when it is clear that she failed to present adequate and or sufficient evidence at both the preliminary hearing and the grand jury proceedings? The DOJ will not decline a county official request, but no one will make the request. I have been informed that there are only two major DNA contributors to the knife. DNA does not lie, but the DA has decided that in order to take further action in this case, the investigators need an eyewitness. In other words, District Attorney Fleming wants the public to believe that eyewitness testimony is more reliable than the results of a scientific DNA forensic testing. This is beyond absurd.
Yeah.
And then she names, and this part is just so sad, Anne O'Keefe was 11 years old when she was strangled to death in Southern California in 1973. DNA evidence brought her murder to justice in 3 weeks. Anna Hikva was found murdered in Portland in 1979. DNA evidence identified her killer as Jerry the Animal McFadden. The grim sleeper, serial killer Lonnie I'm getting like kind of emotional. Serial killer Lonnie Franklin, who was responsible for decades of murders, was caught through DNA evidence. The Golden State Killer, 13 murder counts from 1970 to 1980, was caught through DNA evidence. So she said there's just a few examples of how DNA evidence can identify a person responsible for committing crimes. How long do I need to grieve my son's murder before the murderer is brought to justice? 2 years. Oh, God, I'm going to cry. 2 years ago, my son and his friends were leaving a birthday party when they were approached by a young woman and her friends about a missing cell phone. My son lost his life over a cell phone, a phone that was later found by Lila Ortega. So that's what the fight was about. I will fight for justice for my son. I will fight for justice in Humboldt County. There are many murder cases on DA Fleming's desk that she is unwilling to prosecute. I am fighting for those families as well. The failure of the Arcata Police Department to protect and serve this community is an issue that is greater than my son. I will not accept the lack of justice for families like mine that have suffered as the result of incompetence, lack of proper training, and intentional neglect and negligent mishandling of serious criminal investigations. My son is not the only murder victim whose case has been buried and swept under the rug in Humboldt County. Enough is enough. It is time to speak the truth. Oh, I would like to offer my condolences and my heartbreak to the family of Brandon Brocious for the loss of your son, the miscarriage of justice today, and the lost family stands with you. Justice for Brandon. To be a man is to be responsible, is to feel shame at the sight of unmerited misery. And that was a quote from David Josiah Lawson.
Oh.
Oh. And then it ends with, rest in power, my sweet love. You will never be forgotten, always and forever. Mama's angel.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's so fucking sad, dude.
Ugh. The pain she must be going through.
I know. And she, you know, and I looked in the press releases from the police officers. And so what I have for, you know, what the argument was over and what whose DNA is on there is from just her website. But you can't find anything online that corroborates. I'm sure she's right, but you can't find anything that corroborates it, which means they're just not letting out information about this case. And clearly they have something, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if this girl, if they got into a fight over this girl missing her cell phone, have they interviewed this girl? Have they interviewed her friends? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand how they have not found anything. So I want to bring up that this is not the first time that a Humboldt State University of color has been a victim of a local homicide. In 2001, a man named Corey Clark was murdered in Eureka. And the deaths are largely untracked by university officials, including the University Police Department. The Dean of Students, Randy Darnell Burke, is the only person that she knows that keeps track of student homicides. There's nobody else doing it as far as she knows. She said, I've been here for 40 years, and I think David Josiah makes it 4 homicides. I don't know that anybody has thought about keeping track, and I don't think that anything official has ever been done. So Corey Clark, who was killed in 2001, he was apparently just like a really fun, really sweet guy. It says that on October 9th in 2001, he went out in Eureka. He was a regular one-man show who would have been dressed to the nines in his brown leather jacket with a cranberry and vodka in hand. He expected to have a good time at the Club West after Sunday's homecoming football game. Kean Morgan, Humboldt State University alumni and close friend of Clark, remembers how wonderful Clark was and how much he brought to the community. And how much pride he gave to fellow African-American students just the way that he was. He was just really wonderful to be around, and he was set a really great example for everyone. He was found in his apartment on the 900 block of K Street in Eureka, and he had been shot in the head at point-blank range. When he was found, he wasn't dead yet. He was in critical condition, and he was taken to the hospital where he was later pronounced dead. And as for following up on it,
nothing.
Nothing. So it's just so disappointing. I was doing an entirely different case when I was started this, and then I just read about this, and I was like, God, Humboldt State University. This needs attention. I had never heard of either of these murders. No. And I, you know, keep up on true crime news. And my guess is that a lot of people have never heard of either of these murders. And Josiah's murder, everything that they need to make a conviction and to find the killer is there. And it's just been so much negligence on
Humboldt County's side of,
it's so much negligence. And they should be really ashamed of themselves. And I wanted to end this just by saying that you can go to justiceforjosiahlawson.com. That's JusticeforJosiahLawson.com to read from, you know, articles from his mother, to get student responses in order to get access to the tip line. And that tip line is, I'm going to say the number for you guys one more time. It is 707-825-2590. You can also just call the ADP Dispatch Center, which is 707-822-2424. And those numbers, if you know anything, if you know somebody who was at that party, if you were at that party and you've been scared to talk, speak up, because, man, this mother deserves
justice for her baby.
Oh, reading her writing is just so sad.
Heartbreaking.
She deserves justice. So please, if you know anything, come forward, share, because this is just tragic and it's been so mismanaged. And like we said, you know, if this had been a white student, I think it would have been a very, very different response. I think we'd know who the killer was, and I think there would have been justice served by now. I know they didn't have enough evidence to get Zollner, but if they really do have his DNA on the knife, that should be plenty at this point.
Exactly.
And there's only two people's DNA. Just if again, I don't know, I haven't been able to corroborate this anywhere, but if it is Zollner, it's just Zollner and Josiah's DNA on there, which makes me think like that's pretty clear.
Pretty clear who the killer is. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do we know how? I guess you don't know anything. Like, I was just wondering, like, how did the fight transpire? Was it an argument over a lost phone and Zollner came?
We don't know. All we know is that it started over a lost phone that ended up being found later.
So nothing to do with Josiah. He was just, you know, walking home while black. Like,
I think that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Yep. I think so. So. Please, this kid deserves some justice. And this was just the saddest. And then reading that it's like they have a history of this was really depressing. And I don't know. The university needs to take some responsibility too, I think.
Seriously.
Anyway.
Wow, that's really depressing.
All right. Well, gosh, thank you guys.
Thanks for bumming me out, Emmy. Jeez.
This is just the most – this case is so frustrating to –
especially because it hasn't gone anywhere. There's no information.
There's no information. I couldn't find anything except for stuff from his mom. His mom is the only person out there.
Fighting for him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's freaking ridiculous.
Ugh. Well, I hope something comes of it soon. Someone needs to speak up. I mean, there are over 100 people at that party. Bitches know what happened.
There's just no way nobody saw, especially when we have –
And what about those girls, the two girls that were saying, I hope that he dies. And
I don't know anything about that. That's so fucked up. I don't even know what to make of that.
Are those the two girls that lost the phone?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Wow.
I mean, it might, maybe, you know, because they're saying some very hateful stuff and I don't know. Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible the way this has been handled. I totally understand. I don't even know. I feel so bad for Charmaine because that, I don't know, losing a child is probably the saddest thing that can happen. And then having nobody
fight or stand up or find justice, like our legal systems do their freaking jobs.
Yeah, because he's a black kid. Oh, well, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
If you want to continue to be bummed out by us, please follow us.
After 45 minutes.
I know. Please follow us on Instagram at
Death in the NW Podcast.
You can find us on Facebook at
Death and the NW podcast. You can send us email at.
Yeah, you can send us an email at death in the end, right? NW.
Uh-huh.
Death in the NW podcast at gmail.com. Yeah. And you can find us on our website at
www.deathinthenorthwestpodcast.com. We also we're doing a really bad job at updating that. That needs to be updated. It has the last episode is on there.
Well, to be fair, that's all right. We'll update it.
We need to add our sources. We're not stealing shit. We don't pull this make up the information. So we do want to provide
it's real information. Dude, doing this whole interview, or not the whole, I can't talk. I don't know what is wrong with my brain today. What is happening?
It's Monday,
I guess it's just that it's Monday. I have not been able to follow like a coherent line of thinking all day today. Well, thank you guys. We'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
Have a good week and listen to us next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.